Let us pray. Come, Holy Ghost, for moved by thee the prophets wrote and spoke. Unlock the truth, thyself the key, unseal the sacred book. And our disordered spirits move, and let there now be light. Amen. I'd like to think with you this morning on the theme of light and darkness. And we use these terms in various ways. Africa, for example, used to be referred to as the dark continent. In other words, it was a continent unknown, unexplored. If you keep something dark, then you're keeping it a secret. Conversely, to see the light is to discover, to come to an understanding. To shed light upon some topic is to explain it. Above the entrance to Motherwell Public Library is the motto, "Let there be light." I'm sure that's the motto above many libraries, but I come from Motherwell, and Motherwell Library is the one that I used most when I was younger. A motto above a library which is explaining the function of the library, to bring light, to bring knowledge, to bring understanding. Light is a synonym for knowledge. We sometimes say of someone who is converted that they have seen the light. They have turned, in other words, from darkness to light, from ignorance to God. Conversely, darkness stands for ignorance. It stands for a lack of knowledge. Someone left in the dark is left in a state of ignorance about some matter. Well, with that in mind, I want to turn with you to the Gospel of John. We read part of this first chapter. The first chapter of John is a tremendous chapter. The chapter, in fact, tells you absolutely everything you need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Read that chapter and you've discovered everything about Jesus that there is to know. The rest is just exploring what's already there in that first chapter, because we are told he is God himself. We are told he is God come into the world, the Word made flesh. We are told that he is the Lamb of God. We are told that he is the Messiah. We are told that he is the King, and so on. But one of the themes that we find interwoven throughout John's Gospel is this one of darkness and light. Darkness representing sin and evil and ignorance, light representing holiness and truth. On the one hand, the darkness of the human heart, which we see daily, from war to murder, from greed to broken relationships. And on the other hand, light, the light that Christ brings into the world. In the prologue of the Gospel, we find these well-known words which we read together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not understood it. Men and women are in darkness, in ignorance. Ignorance about the very character of God. Ignorant of his righteousness and his glory and his majesty. They know nothing of that. They are ignorant about the grace of God and his love and his mercy. Ignorant about the gospel, ignorant about the love of God that sent his only Son into the world to be the Savior. Indeed, people are ignorant about the very world that they live in. They see a world ruled by Mother Nature, whoever Mother Nature is, instead of by the Creator, who made all things. People even ignorant about themselves, not understanding that every breath they draw, they do so courtesy of the living God who is there. They are utterly unaware that their very existence is dependent upon the living God. In that prologue, we are told that in him was life. And because people are in darkness, because they are ignorant, they reject the light. And John reminds us of that down in verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him. The world did not recognize him. Men and women are in darkness, ignorant about the reality of their sin and unworthiness before God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. The Word came into the world, shedding light, bringing truth. Down in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Truth, light, understanding. Jesus came to dispel our ignorance about God, our ignorance about sin, our ignorance about the way of salvation. And so the theme of light and darkness is one which is a recurring theme in John's Gospel. Let me just pick out one or two references. First of all, from a very well-known reference in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So here in this well-known passage, that comment, this is the verdict. People loved darkness instead of light. People loved darkness instead of light. And we just think of the world that we live in today. Later in John chapter 8 and verse 12, we find Jesus saying, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then in John 12, we find Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So again and again, as we go through the Gospel of John, we find this theme of light and darkness. Jesus comes so that trusting in him, we might move from darkness to light, from ignorance to understanding, from death to life. Now, as a sort of case example, let's turn to John 9 for a moment or two. In John chapter 9, and the whole chapter is given over to the story of the man born blind. This man was in darkness, a darkness that was in two levels. It was a darkness physically. He's blind, he couldn't see. But it was a darkness also spiritually or intellectually. On the one hand, he was ignorant of the faces around him because he couldn't see them. On the other hand, he was equally ignorant of the gospel, ignorant of who Jesus was. No doubt he had heard stories about Jesus, but they were just stories. Now, it's not insignificant that Jesus repeats his great claim at the beginning of this chapter in verse 5. While I am in the world, says Jesus, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then just sort of roughly going through the story down in verse 6, after saying this, he spit in the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it in the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. And so the man went and washed and came home seeing. Not surprising that the man is then questioned by his neighbors. Verse 10, how then were your eyes opened, they asked. And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and so I went and washed. Then I could see. For the man born blind, Jesus was a man, a miracle worker, but just a man. Story unfolds with the Pharisees coming into the picture, and they interrogate the man. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man replied, he is a prophet. So the man has now moved on from seeing Jesus as just a man who has healed him to a prophet. That is someone who brought the word of God to the people. The Pharisees next question the blind man's parents, and the parents don't want to have anything to do with the situation because they realize that they are in danger of being expelled from the synagogue. And so down in verse 24, a second time they, that is the Pharisees, summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, he said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Well, the blind man is here acknowledging his ignorance. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. Jesus is still just the man, perhaps a prophet, but the man who has given him his sight. A little further on, we find the blind man saying to the Pharisees, we're down in verse 30, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And so we see that the man's understanding is progressing as the story unfolds. Back in verse 24, he says of Jesus, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But now he's saying, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The blind man saw Jesus as, first of all, just a man, then a prophet, but now a man from God. His understanding growing as to the true nature of Jesus. And then we come to the end of the chapter, a section that the New International Version heads spiritual blindness, where the blindness of the Pharisees is contrasted with the light that comes to the blind man. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, That's expelled him from the synagogue. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And so the blind man's journey from spiritual blindness to spiritual insight is complete. Jesus is the Messiah. The man believes and worships Jesus. But conversely, the Pharisees, the religious folk, are in darkness, ignorant of the true nature of Jesus, ignorant of the grace of God. John 9 is a fascinating chapter. It tells the story of this blind man, story of a miracle, but a miracle in two levels. Yes, there is the obvious superficial miracle of a blind man receiving his sight, being able to see the sun and the trees and the people around him. But there is a deeper spiritual miracle of a man who was blind to the truth of Jesus, coming to understand who Jesus truly is, believing and worshipping. A man who could say, "Oh, I see," but in two levels. I see the faces around me, but now I see who Jesus truly is. Jesus comes as the light of the world. He comes to set truth before us. He comes to set holiness and righteousness before us. And we are to receive him, to receive the understanding he brings about God, the character of God, the understanding he brings to us about sin and its seriousness and God's forgiveness. Jesus comes to bring light for our ignorance. And he calls us in turn to follow him and to walk in the light. If we move over to 1 John just very briefly, we find that we are encouraged to walk in the light, to live lives that reflect the character of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." If we walk in the light. And then in the next chapter of 1 John at verse 9, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them." Jesus brings light to our darkness. He brings us truth and grace and salvation. But we in turn are to walk in the light, living lives that honor him. And just one final thought. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sets a real challenge before us. If Jesus is himself the light of the world, in the Sermon on the Mount, he calls us also to be a light to the world. He calls us to let our light shine. Matthew 5 and 14, Jesus says of us, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How brightly are you shining for Jesus? Back in the beginning of John's Gospel, we are told, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. And in John 12, Jesus says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Let us pray. Our Father God, we give thanks indeed that Jesus is the light of the world, bringing us understanding of who you are, understanding of how we can come to you, understanding of how we should live our lives. Help us, we pray, to live in his light, and then living in his light, to live the lives that please him, shining before the watching eyes of the world around us, that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.